Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. We are broadcasting live. Yeah, sort of semi-live. If you're looking out on the video, which is not live, but we are broadcasting from the IoT Solutions World Congress here in Barcelona, Spain, and it is brought to you by those wonderful people at Industrial Internet Consortium. They are passionate about defining and looking at how the industrial internet is transforming the world of businesses today, industrial business today. And this conference is just full of technology and full of a lot of big thinkers. And you know, we've got a big thinker right next to me. Her name is Fiona Daly, and she's with NHS. And you're saying to yourself, Scott, what's NHS? Well, I don't know, but we're going to talk to Fiona about it. So let's get this show on the road and get this interview a cracking. All right, Fiona, how's that?
Great.
It's a pretty cool conference.
Yeah,
there's really a gazillion people roaming around.
Really cool.
A lot of smart people like you.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, you know, it is.
Probably a lot smarter than I am.
Get out of here, man. Get out of here. So for the listeners out there, right, what's your favorite sports team?
Oh, I don't have one. No, I don't follow.
Come on.
I know. I hear all the sighs. I hear them. No, I don't really follow sport. I love playing sport. So
like what?
So I fence. I do fencing.
See, that is a game changer. Nobody says that.
It's like,
see, that's the kind of thing you should have said. I'm into fencing, Scott. And it's like, what the heck?
Okay. So
fencing.
Yeah.
Why?
Fencing. It's a team sport and an individual sport, and I love it because it kind of. There's a little bit of technique involved, quite a lot of technique.
So there's a lot of technique.
Yeah, but mainly because you get to hit someone with a sword. I mean, let's be honest.
And there's different types of swords. It's not just
Foil, épée, and saber. So saber's the best one because you can basically, like, gloves are off, you can hit anywhere on the body.
Come on,
included.
Does it hurt?
I've sustained a few injuries over the years. With it, gotta be said.
I have to be honest. I do watch it in the Olympics.
Uh-huh.
Whenever they do it, and it's like I have no clue. All I know is that somebody's lunging, somebody's defending, and then back and forth. And it's like, oh my gosh, interesting. Hey, give us a little background on who you are, why you're such an incredible professional, and you're on this particular podcast because you are spectacular.
Okay, well, thanks. My name's Fiona. I'm from the UK, I work.
Really?
You wouldn't have known it, right?
No, I don't know. I thought you were from Texas.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, just here with my fencing. And I work for the National Health Service in the UK. So we provide healthcare free at point of use to all the citizens of the UK. And essentially my role in that is that I have been tasked with decarbonizing the NHS estate from the building perspective.
Whoa, you can't just zip across decarbonizing and let that sort of percolate out there. It was like, decarbonizing?
Okay.
So you're responsible for decarbonizing. I don't know what that means, but decarbonize away. Tell us what that means.
Okay, so... I guess you guys might be familiar with climate change.
Yes.
The fact that,
decarbonizing,
the climate is kind of changing. And in the NHS and in all the parts of the world, actually, we have a massive built environment. So all of the buildings that we occupy, they use energy, and we use the products and the goods and services that we buy. They all have a carbon kind of associated with them. So my role really is to remove down to zero all of the carbon associated with the energy in the buildings. So it's quite a lot. There's and you got to think about that. So every time you turn on a light, every time you have an operation in the NHS. You know, we fix people up. We're medical professionals. So every time that happens, we use energy, and we use some kind of embodied carbon in the products that we use, the surgical equipment. You know, they need to come here and
how do you do? Where do you start? Let's just look at it this way. So I always like to sort of look at it in the past and then what you're trying to do, and I hear what you're trying to do and what your future is like zero. But how do you take what you do today and say, this is where I want to start, right there. I don't know, where do you go? You got to go for the biggest bang for the buck.
She's
calling me out on that. I have no idea. That's why she's the professional, and I just sort of stumble along in life.
No. So I think it's like could be applied with anything. So like I'm quite a simple soul in the way that I think, right? So I think you start with what you know, right? So we know we've got a lot of buildings. We've got about 9,000 general practices. Ooh. So they're like people who come, they go see the doctor in these practices, right? And then we've got 24 million square meters of real estate, which is like our hospital estate. So they're big hospitals where people come to be treated for more serious illnesses.
Yeah.
And so where do we start with that? Well, we know where they are. We know how big they are. We know what age they are. We know how much energy they use, you know. And so we can start. We can start to measure, and then we can start to look in more detail, and then we can start to get better data, and we can start to challenge that data. And then we can start to work with the people in those organizations and those buildings to try and help them understand the data and the changes that they can make make things better.
Give me the genesis of this effort. Like, when did somebody say, hey, we need to do this? And Fiona's, let's tap Fiona because she's the one. I mean, there's got to be someone or some entity or organization that said, we got to do this.
Right. Okay. So, I think that the science speaks for itself. The climate scientists have been for probably the last 100 years or more going on about the fact that the stuff's changing and exponentially so. And I guess, you know, we're all quite familiar with Greta and the movement strikes and the climate strikes, which is kind of making us all a little bit more aware in our daily lives about what it's about. And the UK government this year actually committed to becoming net zero carbon by 2050. So they said in the UK, we're going to be net zero carbon by 2050. In Europe, there's something called the Climate Change Act, which is a legal framework that set out that we'd be 80% towards that by 2050, but that's been amended to be net zero carbon by 2050 as
define well. Define net zero. How do you define the math?
This is a really interesting question and something I don't think anybody really knows.
No, because I'm sitting there going, I don't know.
My take on it is kind of this, right? So, business and industry needs to continue to work. You know, money makes the world go round and it needs to continue to do so. But what we need to do is we need to reverse the negative environmental impacts that we're having from those kind of industries and from the business that we do.
Right.
And that's everything, right? So we need to find new ways of doing things. And so where do we start from doing this? We need to take what we've got and then we need to use technologies. You know, we're here at the IoT center in Barcelona with probably some of the greatest minds in the world.
I'm stubbing my toe on the technology everywhere. I mean,
honestly,
it's everywhere. It's like everywhere, yeah.
And your listeners, you know, they'll have the same. They'll all have like really cool things that we could be doing. And the advent of AI gives us an opportunity to look at data in a smarter way and then do something with it. The IoT solutions that come out, the platforms that can integrate all of your data and then make them work with other people's data to just make even smarter decisions.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that we're going for.
See, I look at it from this, that's the right business decision. And when I say that, it's like, yeah, you need to do that because it's the right business decision to do it.
Yeah.
Leverage technology.
Yeah.
Like, we just had a couple of conversations, and it's like, why wouldn't you do it? To be able to deploy technology in such a way that it improves your bottom line.
For sure. And
it just makes no sense.
And I think that's the whole thing, even around the climate change agenda. I think that the words climate change can kind of evoke a feeling in people, and one way or another, I don't think either it's right. But I don't think anybody would purposefully go out to like damage the environment, our natural environment.
No.
But actually, these are just really smart business decisions. You know,
They are.
We're LED lighting has been around for as long as, well, not as long as time began, but, you know, it's been around for a real while now.
Yeah.
We're just investing £46 million in the NHS to upgrade our LED lighting. Now, you could say, oh, well, that's very nice and everything, and it'll save us 34,000 tonnes of carbon, which is
quite good. But actually, it's going to save us £18.5 million off our operational costs every year. So why wouldn't we do that?
Such a win-win all around.
Yeah.
And it's not that difficult. It's like, that's real low-hanging fruit. I can get to that.
Absolutely. I think some of the tougher things come about, you know, our life is built on certain things, and we need to make some changes in that. But again, that just opens up the door for all the entrepreneurs in the world to go, I've got a really cool solution for that.
Yeah.
Like, let's do this. Let's, you know, in the UK, we've got a bit of a following, a chap called David Attenborough. He's a very well-renowned natural sciences.
David Attenborough?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great. I love listening to him.
Okay.
It's like, I think he's cool. And he had his brother. His brother passed away.
Yeah, I know this.
Quite the family. Can you imagine being around the table and listening to those people talk? Oh, yeah, by the way.
He just did this one-off. He always does a series on nature reports on nature. And he did this one episode in one series on the Blue Planet series, which was around the oceans.
Yep.
And it was around ocean plastic. And it basically showed that, you know, there's a lot of plastic in the oceans, and they reckon by 2050 there's going to be more pieces of plastic than fish. And in the UK, like, this was horrific for people. So, you know, we have basically turned the tide on plastics, and we are removing plastic bottles. We are removing, things. I know we're seeing it.
You drink it up. Sorry, that's plastic.
but it's not about demonizing it either. You know, it's about. But we have all the restaurants. Pretty much, if you go to London and you take your bottle, you can go into any coffee shop or any restaurant, and they will fill it up, and there will be no question.
No kidding.
You know, it's just forced a real change. But people have led that change. So people have said, okay, this is really bad. I don't really want to use straws anymore. We don't have plastic straws really anymore when you go out to a bar
or
a restaurant or what have you. Most people have changed to that. And there's taxation coming to kind of encourage people for the more difficult things. But again, you know, plastic has its use in buildings. It can be very useful for flooring and for things that have to be there to protect things for a long period of time. And at the other end of that, we look at the circular economy use, right? So what can we do at the end of its life?
Yeah.
Can we remake it into something that's actually better and we can extend its life?
But here's the challenge, and I think there's a local component, right?
Uh-huh.
Let's say the UK. The UK's doing their part.
Uh-huh.
They're you know, culturally they see it, we're gonna do it, and we're on that. There are other countries that don't get it, right?
Yeah.
And it's just an interesting time. So it's one of those things where, okay, my little, you know, slice of the pie in my world, I've gotta do my thing.
Yeah.
Because I can't worry about, I have no power whatsoever with the other components, so I can do it here.
Yeah.
And so it has to. But I get down to the fact, it makes good business sense.
Yeah.
So you can sit there and you can debate whether you're for or against, whatever it might be. When I hear about the bottom line, like from a business point of view, deploying these solutions, these technologies,
they're
not that expensive.
No.
With the bang for the buck at the bottom line.
Well,
that can be deployed, the savings, to doing bigger and better things.
For sure.
Yeah,
in a business sense, you know, energy prices have gone up and will continue to go up.
Yeah.
So, you know, switching to renewable sources, buying renewable energy rather than fossil fuel energy, it's going to be cheaper. Oh, and incidentally, it's better for the environment, right? So this is a good thing. In the States, you get a lot of hurricanes, right?
The reason we were late coming to this conference is that we got hammered by a tropical storm that we didn't know, and it shut out the power. Like the state of Louisiana as a whole just got hammered by this storm, and we're just sitting there going, well, I guess we can't fly out, and the power's out. And I'm telling you, with power being out, it only took 10 hours, right?
Uh-huh.
We were out for about 12 hours. 10 hours, I think society was beginning to collapse.
Right. And it's true.
It's like, what the?
And so, you think, my gosh, our whole life and our whole society is built on electricity plugging stuff in.
You.
And you kind of, you sit there like, oh, well, what do we do now?
How do I cook? I have a generator, but it's the same thing. It's like,
So you have a generator, right? So to deploy industrial combined heat and power units, to add battery storage technology onto those so that we can regulate the grid and the flow when things like this happen, and they'll happen more and more regularly. Yeah. This is like a really, really smart business thing to do.
But you guys, because you take care of people, that's the safety component.
Yeah.
You can't have power go out.
Yeah.
People depend on the power because, well, they're dependent on that machine helping them.
For sure.
And you can't have that.
No.
And many of the situations that have taken place in the past, the stories have been, they lost power, people passed away because they didn't have the power, and it's sad.
Yeah.
And there's no reason why there can be no generation. I mean, it just makes no sense.
No, absolutely. All the technologies are there, and they're emerging, and they're getting better and smarter, and, you know, more carbon neutral every single day.
Right.
I think that it's true. Our society is built up on this, isn't it? And you know, we are lost. If you know it yourself. If you have a power cut at home, you kind of go, what are we going to do now?
How about this? The internet went down because the power was out, right?
That's it.
So, what do I do now? I've got to check into my flight, but I can't go there, and I can't, you know. And it was so funny. The cell service was down.
Yeah.
So you just sort of sit there.
Yeah.
I gotta read? No, I'm not gonna read. I don't know how to read. It's not on the computer.
But it's true. It's true. And all of our and all of this stuff, I think, you know, it's gonna get more and more. I think if you don't do or don't believe what the scientists are saying is really irrelevant. You know, just look at the weather, and just look at the weather for the last 10 years or 20 years. There's been no year in the UK for the last 20 years, I think, where we haven't had a major event, overheating or flooding or cold weather, and it's all been more and more extreme. And so we're having to think about how we maintain our railways and how we maintain our business infrastructure and how we maintain our servers and our, you know, and our IT and our...
It's that thinking, that change. It's interesting. You need an event to realize you're not prepared or you don't... And you need an event to... And so here at this particular conference, you can wander around the booths, and a lot of these people are just on cutting edge, whatever it is. Their heads are just pulsating with knowledge, right?
Yeah.
And they're thinking so differently.
Yeah.
But it's because of events in the past, they realize we can do it differently. We can, and the technology's there.
Yeah.
So back to the original question.
Yeah.
How do you prioritize your work? Because you've got a gazillion, cubic, feet of, space and acreage. And how what do you do?
Okay.
So what about that Gantt chart, man? That Gantt chart must be just about the size of this conference room.
I did tell you I was a simple soul, right? It's not that at all. It's not that at all. So we approach things in, like, three kind of definitive ways, right? So one is about...
Paper and pencil. Every time
paper
somebody
and pencil
says
there. Paper one, and pencil.
Number one.
Organizational leadership.
You need leadership.
Uh-huh.
Big freaking.
You need leadership.
Yes.
And that's not like, well, it's down to the CEO. Actually, it's down to every single person within that organization.
Yeah.
And how we get that organizational leadership is really important. So we focus on strategic planning all the way down to behavior change. That's kind of the first.
How long have you been on this quest?
I've been in my current job for 2 years.
2 years, so that's sort of the beginning of that quest.
Yeah, and then previously I'd worked in the NHS for 8 years.
Okay, so we'll say 2 years you guys have been on this quest.
Yeah.
Number two.
We look at better buildings for our patients. That's it. So, you know, our core business is patient care. We look after people. We call them patients in the UK. So, we are better buildings for our patients. And better buildings means net zero carbon, just as a fact.
But it's also probably a sort of a better, if I'm a patient.
Better environment, right?
Just environment.
Yeah,
like
for sure.
You know?
Have you got trees outside?
Yeah,
you feel good.
Absolutely.
Can you go for a walk?
Yes.
Can you open the window? It's not too hot. It's not too cold.
And that's the benefit of that?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You've got nutritious food.
That's right.
It's all of this stuff. So that's better buildings for our patients,
right?
And then the third bit, actually, is using our people as a catalyst for change. So the NHS, they employ 1.6 million people. And you know, in our in our department, like the estates and facilities, so we've got all the engineers and all the cleaners and the caterers and the porters and the security guys. We've got 100,000 staff. So how do we engage with those guys who know their staff? They know their work environment better than I could ever hope to, and actually give them the tools that they need to make changes in their workplaces and in their lives in general. And so they're my three pillars. They're the three things that I'd focus
on. All I can say is that the only way you're going to be able to eat that elephant is one bite at a time.
Oh, wow.
It's a big one. Because I was stumbling on the 1.6 million people. That's a lot of folks.
It's a lot.
And it's a lot of getting those individuals rowing in the same direction.
For sure.
But if there's one person that can handle it, that's you, Fiona.
Well, thank you.
Because you're powerful. You're strong. All right, you listeners out there, that's Fiona Daly. Are you out there on LinkedIn? Because maybe somebody is saying, hey, I want to know more about those three pillars, and we want to do the same thing. Give us a little wisdom.
For sure.
You out there? LinkedIn?
For sure. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter. I'm all over the social
media.
Look
at you. Of course you are. Because you're that type of person, man. You're very cool. All right, Industrial Talk listeners, that's Fiona. And I want to, once again, we're broadcasting live from the IoT Solutions World Congress. And that's brought to you by those wonderful people at Industrial Internet Consortium. They're passionate about technology. They're passionate about how to take that in the, you know, that internet and be able to transform your life and leverage that technology to the betterment of not just society, but you and the business. It's all good. Anyway, always, as always, be bold, be brave, dare greatly, change the world. That's what we're all about here at Industrial Talk. So have a great time. We're going to have some more great conference or interviews, just like the one here at Fiona. She's awesome. I like her. I do. You're cool. All right. Thank you very much. Stay tuned. Better conferences, better interviews coming your way.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.